We're going to look at a bunch of stuff tonight as we've been looking at the new birth and the word regeneration. And regeneration, of course, literally shows that we looked at the word last week and saw how it means to, it's something we follow Christ into according to Matthew 19:28, and it's also something we have to be washed to get in. And we're washed, it's according to Colossians 1:14, where the Bible says there, in whom we have redemption through His blood, even the forgiveness of sin. And we got to have that regeneration. We got to have it through the blood of Jesus. And that, of course, leads us to regeneration, talking about the new birth. There's a second birth we got to have to get into heaven. And that's when you get born again. And it's not reformation. It's a new creation where God does a work of in your life and being born into His family. Last week, we looked at the names of the new birth, which is born of the Spirit, born of God, new creature, the washing of regeneration, and also the new man. But now we pick up this week with the second one, and that's the means of the new birth. Means, when we use the word means in English, what that tells us is the instrument used to obtain the result you're after. And when you're talking about the means of something, I've got a set of tools in my toolbox that all tools don't do every job. There's some of them for certain things and some for the others. Just like I bought this mallet years ago. Everybody needs a mallet. I'll tell you why. When your children misbehave, there's nothing better than, tell it, brother, there's nothing better than having a mallet. So where'd you get such a crazy idea? From Bugs Bunny, of course. I saw how that worked on there, and I thought, I bet that'll work right there. No, I got it for working with leather, of all things. But if I was going to build a house, I wouldn't use that mallet to build a house with. It wouldn't stand up to what I need it for. I've got some other tools in there. I got saws for different things, cut different things with. And a while back, I made this thing to hold bungee cords. I saw it on TikTok, of all things. Great idea. It's in the back of the truck right now. Keeps them all organized and everything. And the first thing the guy said to buy was a 2-inch PVC pipe cutter. I didn't have one, so instead of waiting, I went out and tried with a hacksaw, and y'all can imagine how that turned out. Like that. So I called my old buddy the plumber up. I said, I need some help. He said, what you need? I said, where you at? He said, I'm right below your house. I said, I'll be there in 5 minutes. Give me the address. He took that PVC pipe cutter, that thing. Boy, it looks like it's cut in the factory like that. You got to have the right tools for the right job to bring out the right results you want to get. Yep. And we talk about the means of the new birth, and you look in John 3:7, Jesus says this, marvel not that I said thee, ye must be born again. And that's the result you want right there. He said, the wind bloweth where it listeth, and thou hearest the sound thereof, but thou canst tell whence it cometh and whither it goeth, so is everyone that's born of the Spirit. So we see literally what he talks about here is being born of the Spirit. Now I want to dispel some notions from you to help you out tonight. The word pneuma in the Greek New Testament does not mean wind. You know where we get pneumatic grill from. That's not how you do that. The way you look at that word is you look where it's used that and you let the context define it every time. Out of 80 occurrences of the word pneuma in a Greek New Testament, I'm not sure about the other ones. I know the Stevens and the Beza and the Textus Receptus of the 1865-ish range there. Those all have it about 80 times. And out of 80 times, 79 times that word is translated spirit. The one time it's translated wind, we just looked at in verse 8. And it's referring to the Spirit of God. So if I saw pneuma as a word that means spirit, and if it was the root word of another word, I know that that means the Spirit's there, not wind. How about this word? Theopneustos, inspiration. That means God's Spirit's in every word. Therefore, it's inerrant, infallible, along with being inspired. So when they translate theopneustos to English, they call it inspiration, with the root word being spirit in that word, not wind. Don't try to correct the Bible when you come to a perfect Bible with any set of another language. I don't care what the language is, how old it is. If we got a perfect Bible, they'll line up. If they don't, you throw the other one out. And here's another catch. All of you people have been seeing on Facebook, all you little liberal friends posting where they show the KJV and the NIV and show the verses missing, and they'll have some educated freak sitting there saying, well, now, the modern version is not wrong. They work with better manuscripts. For all those people that say that, I want to ask you a question tonight. Out of the 17 verses missing that you say are not in the oldest and best manuscripts that have been coming out, prove to me doctrinally why they shouldn't be there. Oh, you say because it's somewhere else? I got a little word from the Lord from you tonight. There's biscuits in your sewage tank. Why don't you go get one of them instead of going to Hardee's in the morning? I mean, after all, it's in another place.
Amen.
You say, what's that got to do with this? Everything.
Yeah.
Because if we don't have one written final authority, we're going to come up with a bunch of cults and isms. Wait a minute, we already got them. We're not voting tonight whether or not we believe the Bible. We believe the Bible whether you vote or not.
Amen.
That's a given. These people that say, we got to vote whether we believe such and such about the Bible. You forget that. We're going to believe the Bible.
Yeah.
We ain't got to vote on that.
Amen.
I noticed that we see the Spirit of God here mentioned in verse 9. Nicodemus answered and said to him, how can these things be? Why would he ask such a question like that? He's over the synagogue. And it says, Jesus answered and said unto him, art thou a master of Israel and knowest not these things? Verily, verily, I say unto thee, we speak that we do know and testify that which we have seen, and you receive not our witness. He said, if I have told you earthly things and you believe not, how shall you believe if I tell you heavenly things? This is the same man he just told he needed to be born again. And he said, how can these things be? Can a man endure his mother's womb a second time? He didn't understand the new birth. The new birth comes because of the Spirit of God. It looks as if Nicodemus has never had an encounter with the Spirit of God at this point in his life. You say, was he a bad man? Probably not. He was probably a very nice guy, but most lost people are. They're always very nice. There's only a handful of them making everybody look bad, right? If you look over in John chapter 1, we're talking about the new birth and the means of the new birth. The person that's used to obtain that result is the Holy Spirit of God. And it says here in verse 12, this shows us the second part of that means. He says, but as many as received Him, to them, that's the ones that received Jesus Christ, gave He power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on His name. And if you'll notice, He points out He gave them power to become that thing. When we get saved, when we experience the new birth, when people say, well, nothing happened when I experienced the new birth, then you didn't experience the new birth.
Right.
It's not based on the feeling you had at the moment you got saved, but you must have something there when the God that runs this universe and created everything you see gets out of there and gets into here. There's something you will know that happens.
Yeah.
It's like when you... It's like when you go somewhere and somebody hands you something and you feel that thing in your hand whether you see it or not. I've had people hand me things and I didn't see what it was. I looked down, I knew something was in my hand. I looked and saw what it was. And when you get saved, listen, God puts something in your heart, but you don't have to look and see because you know who He is. And it comes, listen, it comes because the Spirit of God come in there and He didn't come by Himself. He brought the power of God with Him. That's how people are able to overcome sin. They're able to overcome situations. They're able to overcome the world, the flesh, the devil, because He comes in with the power of God inside you. Now, the problem people have is a lot of people don't realize that, and they try to fake that on the outside. So how do they fake it? They'll say that baptism is part of salvation. Baptism is not part of salvation. Baptism is an act of obedience after you get saved.
Yep.
Baptism doesn't save you.
That's right.
Talking in unknown tongues don't save you.
Right.
It don't even show you're saved or lost. That was a sign gift given to the Jews, and every time it happens in the Bible, there's always a Jew present, and it's always for them unbelieving Jews. And when you look at all this stuff right here in verse 12, He said He gave power. Power to do what? To become something. Now watch this. This also shows that you can't lose what he gives you because he plugged you into it.
Yeah.
You got baptized in Christ, and you've got power to become the Son of God. And I noticed that he said to become one of the sons of God, not the Son of God, obviously. But if you look on 1 John chapter 5, we talk about the means of the new birth. The means, the literal means of the new birth. In 1 John chapter 5, if you look down at verse number 1. In 1 John chapter 5, he says this, "Whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ is born of God." And we just saw in John chapter 1 verse 12 that when you believe on him, he gives you power to become the Son of God or a Son of God. "And everyone that loveth him that begat loveth him also that is begotten of him." Another means of the new birth is this. Love for others that are saved is what got you to where you are. And when you get saved, you'll love others, but those others loved you and showed you some kind of love because they showed you the gospel.
Right.
I don't care if you were by yourself and you got saved, somebody showed you the gospel. Some human being did, and God honored that. And when they gave you the word of God, he planted that in your heart, and because they're begotten, they want to see others get saved. I've never met a saved person that didn't want to see people get saved. I've had pastor friends over the years got run out of churches because they'd go win people to the Lord, and somebody would come up, and it's usually somebody in some high position, talking about, "We don't want that crowd in our church." How could you not want them?
Yeah.
Well, they're prostitutes. Them ladies that come in, they were prostitutes. Well, they ain't no more.
Yeah. Right.
Well, that guy over there, he's a drug addict. We don't want that kind of people in our church. He got saved. He ain't been a drug addict in 2 years.
Amen.
Yeah, but we don't want this kind here. Which makes me ask this question. What kind are they?
Yeah.
Because it says clearly right there, "Everyone that loveth him that begot, loveth him also that is begotten of him." Born again people like being around born again people.
Right.
Maybe that's why they don't like it. They don't like it because them other people ain't what they are either. And when you, there's always this thing that people tells me about, that rotten apples, if you put them on both sides of a barrel full of apples, there'll be a line of rot, then things will rot towards each other. Maybe that's what they are, they're just rotten apples. They smell like rotten eggs sometimes, the way they talk of that stuff, it makes them look like they're the devil. Look up 1 Corinthians chapter 4. 1 Corinthians chapter 4. 1 Corinthians chapter 4. The Bible says we're in 1 Corinthians chapter 4, we're talking about the means of the new birth. We're talking about in 1 Corinthians chapter 4, look down at verse 15. He said, "For though ye have 10,000 instructors in Christ, yet have ye not many fathers. For in Christ Jesus I have begotten you through the gospel." The means of the new birth, the Holy Spirit of God, uses the blood of Jesus Christ, the power of God, but he does it through somebody explaining the gospel of Christ to you, and that's a means by which you get saved. You've got to understand that Jesus Christ came to this earth, lived a sinless life for one reason. He had to die an atoning death, and he had to be sinless to do it, to die for the sins of the world. When he was on the cross, when that so-called eclipse happened, it wasn't an eclipse. It was God pouring out the sin of this world on him.
Right.
The sun hid its face from this planet when God let it be poured out on him. Right. Listen, it became dark here, so dark they couldn't see in front of their face. That's how black, evil, and dark your sins are. Your sins, my sins, the sins of this world would cause the sun not to shine. That's how bad it is. And when people say, "Well, I just do such and such every once in a while." Do you realize what I just told you? The sun would hide its face from what you're doing. The S-U-N. God the Father couldn't look on his son when he done that. When he poured out the sins of this world. And when he died with no sin in him, but with everybody's sin on him. And he died and put his blood where that sin could atone for it. That sin could be atoned for by that blood. When he done that, that became a means. But when he got up from the grave, the deal was sealed. Now everybody can get saved by grace through faith. All the folks that looked forward to it, all the folks that looked back to it, looked back to the Lamb of God to be saved. They looked forward to the Lamb of God to be saved. It's through His shed blood, through His redemption, and the fact He got up from the grave.
Amen.
There was a fellow told me today of an associate pastor in a church that said this. When they first brought him in, he said, "I was 3 years old when I got saved." Him and another missionary said, "There's no way you're born again right now." He said, "Why not?" He said, "Because you couldn't even say your own name at 3 years old, much less know somebody else's name." Well, after he got around the preachers, the missionaries, he toned it up a little bit. I got saved when I was 7. Was you saved at 3? Was you saved at 7?
Yeah.
Was you lying then or are you lying now?
Yep.
And when they correct the Bible, I know when they're lying right now.
Yep.
Saved people don't go out and do that stuff.
Amen.
When they come up to you and say stuff should be not in the Bible, it's plain doctrine, I mean plain as the nose on your face, and they go to correcting this book, that's a lost man sin, my friend.
Yeah.
And you usually check behind it, and you'll find somebody claiming they've been a Christian since they've been born saying it. Let me kill a sacred cow on this altar of our Baptist church here tonight. Billy Graham has went around this country to be America's pastor for years. Billy Graham joined a church in Spartanburg. Did y'all know that before he died? He joined First Baptist in Spartanburg. Boy, he's so proud to have Billy Graham here. Woo, he just love that. Do you know Billy Graham gave 7 different plans of salvation when he preached in Denver, Colorado in 1978? You'll watch the tape. I watched it when I was in Bible college. I said, "What did he just say?" Then about 10 minutes later, he said something. I said, "Wait a minute, he just contradicted himself." We love Billy Graham. How dare you talk about him, mate? He probably said something he's old. I didn't say he's 98. I didn't say 1998. I said 1978. He also said the same thing in 1952, which the sword of the Lord up there started saying, "There's a danger with this man. He's bringing Catholic priests up on the platform." But I'm going to tell you something tonight I've never said, that you're going to die when I say it if you like Billy Graham. I know you got his Just As I Am book. I know you do, but you ain't never read it. Because if you did, you'd find out his wife didn't join that church in Spartanburg with him.
Yep.
Really? Didn't she? Why didn't she? Well, she's a Presbyterian. That's the Baptist church he joined.
Yep.
And I'll tell you something else. And they asked her about, "When did you get saved?" Well, she said, "I've always been a Christian." Why would she say that? Because she's a Calvinist. She don't ever believe she is lost. The first thing you learn about soul winning when you deal with people is you got to get them lost before you get them saved.
Right.
If your house is that messed up that your wife belongs to one church in Dallas, Texas, Presbyterian Church, and you go to Southern Baptist Church, you ain't nobody's pastor. You ain't qualified to be in that office.
Amen.
And if you're giving out 7 different plans of salvation, you climb it up some other way like a thief and a robber.
Yep.
Amen, friend.
Amen.
If you yoking up with a Catholic priest and setting on the platform, if you come in here and they priest sitting up here, you better run out that door.
Yeah.
You know I've lost my mind. You better come get me, take me to the doctor.
Yeah.
Yeah. Say, so Dr. Kirsch, I mean Tim Stewart, you need to check this man out.
That's right.
But listen to this. When we look at this thing here about the gospel of Christ, it's the gospel of Jesus Christ they've got to learn. They've got to get that thing down. If they don't nail that down, they don't nail heaven down.
Yep.
Everybody in this building that's saved, you trusted Jesus Christ and you accepted Him.
Yep.
You know about His death, His burial, and His resurrection. You may not could even find it in the Bible when you first got saved, but you had to trust that. You had to accept that. You had to accept God's payment for your sins. You know why there's so many lost church people? They don't understand that. Have they been baptized? Probably 2 or 3 times. Who knows? I don't know. Some of them not. A friend of mine went and pastored a church in Greer, South Carolina, and he got the notice and hearing rumblings of something going on about a woman having affairs with 2 of his deacons. He went and confronted them about it. They ducked their heads. They said, "We did it." 1 woman, 2 deacons. He went and confronted her. She wasn't even a member of the church. She is a Roman Catholic that they let have a Sunday school class in that church teaching children. Let me ask you a question. What was she teaching them? Well, their life, I know what she is teaching them. You can't let that stuff go. You better get on top of that quick.
Yep.
Another friend of mine, listen, He is preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ from the pulpit on Sunday morning, and the next Sunday morning in Sunday school, he had a Sunday school teacher tearing apart his message every week. Mm-hmm. Every week.
Mercy.
Ain't that sad?
Yeah.
So what do you do about that? You fire the Sunday school teacher.
Yeah.
That, you don't let that go on, because if somebody's teaching something opposite the gospel of Jesus Christ, we need to get rid of that stuff.
Yeah.
That don't work.
Yep.
And the sad thing is, we want everybody to like us and be nice to everybody, but that just don't work every time. Sometimes you got to stand for the Word of God, and sometimes it costs you friends, invitations, parties, and everything else you want to attend, and all that other stuff, dinners, sometimes good dinners at that. But you got to do right. Because, dear friend, you will spend more time in eternity than you will spend on this planet. So we look at the means of the new birth, and also if you look at 1 Peter chapter 1, we say we got to have the Spirit of God, the power of God. We got people praying for us that love us and don't want us to go to hell. And we see the gospel is what they're trying to get to us, and here's how they do it. 1 Peter chapter 1, look at verse number 23. It says in this verse, there's that word born again occurring for the third time in your Bible. Being born again, not of corruptible seed. So you can't have corruptible seed doing the trick. He says, but of incorruptible by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. So we got to have somebody preach the Bible to us and get the incorruptible word to us. And that's why we got radio programs, we got internet videos, MP3s on the internet with the word of God out there where people can hear the word of God, and God can use that so they can get a seed planted in their heart.
Yep.
I stopped the other day in Gaffney and heard this guy street preaching up there. And all these guys that want to talk about, well, they ain't going to give me no permit to preach. God called me. That's cute. Here's a catch. If you want a microphone inside the city limits, you got to go before that city council and get the permit. And you know what happened? We pulled up at the bank where he is at, and I rolled down the window, and for 30 seconds he would explain the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ and how he died for sinners, and start over. He's only doing it right in front of Walmart.
Yep.
He wasn't hiding in some back alley street preacher. He's right up there where he's at.
Yep.
And if you're going to reach that crowd with all them windows rolled up and air conditioning and wearing their little mask on, look at my glasses. I used to hate that stuff. Listen, you know what they got to do? They got to turn some kind of amplification up to reach that crowd.
That's right.
And everybody heard him.
Yeah.
I don't know where he goes to church. I don't care. But he's doing something a lot of people will not do.
Yeah.
Taking and reading the Word of God for 30 seconds and then starting over. You know why they're all riding around air conditioning on? Because it's hot outside. That dude's out there. I commend him for one thing. He at least had enough sense to have a hat on while he's out there. Had his little hat and a little thing out there. And I said, man, amen, son. Keep preaching.
Amen.
Listen, it's going to take getting the Word of God out there. If we tell them how to get saved and don't tell them the Bible, we give them corruptible seed. It's like when people say, well, if somebody's been on drugs, they could tell my drug addict teenager how to get saved, and they're probably listening because they used to be on drugs. Your drug addict son beat and look at them people and say, you lying, you ain't never been on drugs. And they walk off and never listen to them. But you give them the Bible, that Bible will follow them out the door.
Yeah. Yep. Amen, preacher.
You said, the Bible will? Yeah, because if you read in Galatians chapter 3, there was a guy over there. You ever heard of a guy named Pharaoh over in Exodus? We got New Testament shedding light on Old Testament. Listen to this. When Moses talked to him, he would either agree and let him, provisional, let him go. But the Bible didn't say Moses got to him when nobody's around. It said the Scripture saith unto Pharaoh, a book that wasn't even printed yet.
Mm.
Not the Spirit of God, the Scripture saith unto Pharaoh. This book will follow you out the door, to the car, to the place where you're going to. And when you're sitting there messed up and seeing everything else, God will talk to you.
That's right.
And listen, if we talk about the means of the new birth, there's also a source of it. The source describes the origin which it comes from. Did you know that in the Bible, There's this story that a lot of people like to dispute. It's called Jonah being swallowed by the great fish. And people say, well, a whale can't swallow a man like that. The same crowd that says that, they use science as their evidence. But yet they'll dig up bones of whales that were 50 times or 30 times bigger than the whales we got now, right? And so there's all these different kind of whales. I don't know what kind it was, but when Jesus Christ said it was a whale, I believe it's a whale.
Amen.
He holds precedence over all scientists and science and everything else because he's the creator,
yep,
and he created the rules for science too. He warns us about science, falsely so called, in 1 Timothy 6. And we get to the source of the new birth. I know where it comes from because that dude that was in the whale's belly, here's what he said. After he backslid on God and wouldn't do what God said, and he went and chartered a fair to go away from the place God wanted him to, they got into a bad storm. He finally stood up and said, this storm is because of me. My disobedience has caused this. So they tossed him.
Yep.
Storm quit. And then the thing swallowed him.
Yep.
The great fish, the whale. Now, wait a minute. This is where it gets good. While he's in the belly of the whale 3 days and three nights, on the last few moments he's there, you know what he starts doing? Praying.
Yep.
And you know what he says in that prayer? Salvation is of the Lord in Jonah chapter 2, verse 9.
Right.
When he said that, there he come right out. That thing spit him up.
Amen.
Now listen to me. Knowing that, the source of the new birth and him saying salvation is of the Lord, there's your source of salvation.
Yeah.
It's the Lord himself. You didn't get saved because somebody sat around and said, you know what? I think I'm going to do right. Yeah, I believe I'm going to. It's going to do right. I'm going to not do bad things to people. I'm going to do good things. I'm going to help the poor and needy. I'm going to do all this sort of stuff. You got saved because before this planet was ever created, God willed it from eternity that he was going to do something about it. So you're talking about a God that knows everything. Here's a mystery for you. If he knew we was going to be like this, why did he let us get this far? He must have had a plan the whole time.
Right.
He does.
Yes, sir.
His plan was always to let his son die for your sins. His plan was for every man to get all men to be saved, according to 1 Timothy 2:4.
Yep.
Who would have all men to be saved and come to knowledge of the truth.
Yes,
and knowing the source comes from the Lord himself, it also comes from the Holy Ghost doing the work of regeneration. We read in Titus 3:5 last week that he does the washing of regeneration by the Holy Ghost. We know that in Colossians 1:14, I mentioned it a while ago, it says, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins. It's that blood he takes and washes us in regeneration because it's all of the Lord. He's the source of all of it.
Yeah.
Do you know when you were born in this world, you couldn't even say your own name?
Right.
I doubt there's anybody in this room remembers when you were born. Some of you just too old. Here's a catch. You ain't got to remember when you're born. Not in America, you don't. Not if you're born here. You know why? Somebody recorded it.
Yep.
I went to the health department and got my birth certificate. Had to have it to get a passport. They gave me two copies. They said, you might forget one. I said, don't judge me. And lady laughed and handed me the second copy. I think she printed two by mistake, so I got to get a second one or something. But on that thing, it gave the exact time I was born. Up until that day, I was 54 years old when I found out what time of day I was born. You say, when was it? I forget. I have to look in. That's why they wrote it down for me. And when I looked at that thing, I thought, man, they told me I was born on that day from as far back as I remember. I've been writing that day down, but now I know the time it happened. How about that? That's great, ain't it? But here's the thing. Just as that birth happened, I started learning a language after I started coming along there and learning how to walk and learn all this other stuff. And then one day I learned words. I learned how to read and write and all this other stuff. And then one day the greatest thing happened. Somebody took my language, told me how to get saved, and it took somehow. And when it took, the source was God Almighty, and it come from Jesus Christ, And he started showing this stuff to me through the Holy Spirit of God. And the most important thing he showed me was there was no way I could save myself. He'd have to save me. And when I got saved, I started reading this very book. It's right up here in the one you got in your lap. Look at 1 Corinthians 6. 1 Corinthians 6. 1 Corinthians 6. So what happened? Here's what happened. The new birth happened. And the source of it was the Lord, because I sure wasn't looking for Him. But boy, He sure got onto me and started hunting me. And here's what happened. He gives a list of sins in 1 Corinthians 9 and 6, verse 9 and 10 there, and starts off by saying, "Know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God?" Remember we looked at the kingdom of God the other day? That's the thing that's within you. And it comes in Romans 14, 17. It's righteous joy and peace in the Holy Ghost. He said, "Be not deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves, mankind." These people don't go to heaven. "Nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God." Here's the thing right here. "And such were some of you."
That's right.
You think you go to church bad people? You read that list right there and tell me what they went to church with. So what was sitting there? Some former words. If you ask this question, can gay people be saved? Yeah, but they'll be a word when they get it.
Right. Yeah.
I was born this way. You are what Jesus said. You must be born again.
Right.
And when you get born again, that goes away.
That's right.
I like that old video. That guy said, "I don't like men's no more." That man got saved.
Amen.
That man got saved. He don't know the language of church. He don't know the language of hallelujah, glory to God, and all that. But he knew that much. That's the man got saved. He's a were. And one day he'll be a was not. Look at this. "He says, such were some of you, but ye are washed, but ye are sanctified," that's set apart for God's service, "but ye are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God." So the source of the new birth, listen, we deal with this thing, it comes from the Lord Himself, it comes from the Holy Ghost doing the work, and it comes in the name of Jesus Christ. There's no other name under heaven whereby men must be saved.
Amen.
You can't get saved no other way than Him.
Right.
All other religions go to hell because they trust in their works. He says, trust Him.
Yep.
So have you ever seen Him? Nope, but I trust His name right there.
Amen.
That's how you do it. And the result of the new birth, you get three things that comes with it. Three things right off the bat. Holy Spirit of God brings every one of these to your life. You never had them before, but now you got them. Number one is hope. Look over at 1 Peter chapter 1. 1 Peter chapter 1. First thing you get when you get saved, you get hope. Nothing better to have in life than hope. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 3. We get hope. The Bible says there in 1 Peter chapter 1 verse 3, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to His abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope." Watch this. "By the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead."
Amen.
Because He got up and He's got life, we got up and got life.
Amen.
We followed Him in the regeneration. Because He's not dead, we're not dead.
Right.
And we'll never die.
Right.
Why? Because we got hope now. What's the hope of? The hope is the gospel. The hope is in Jesus Christ. Not on me maintaining or holding out and enduring to the end that I might be saved. The hope is Him.
Amen.
And listen, it's just not any kind of hope. It's a lively hope.
Amen.
What happened? You got born again.
Amen.
Got regenerated. Got the new birth. And result is hope. And the definition for the word faith is found two books that way in Hebrews 11, verse 1. That's what He brought when you got saved. Hope. Second one, faith. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. And you read Hebrews chapter 11, you'll realize something. Everybody in the Bible did something for God, did because they believed God.
Amen.
But it's easier for Moses. He saw God. Are you kidding me? Let me throw this on you. You're going to leave 2.5 million people out in the middle of the desert and promise they're going to get fed every day from something coming from heaven? You know what that takes? Faith.
Right.
Amen. And it wasn't just bread from heaven. We're talking about 62 boxcar container loads of bread every day come down. If you don't know how big one of them things is, it's a transfer truck. Full. 62 of them to feed 2.5 million people every day. Who did that? God did. You going to walk out to the middle of a place with no McDonald's, and you going to walk out there and say, we're going to get fed, don't worry about it. But, God got us.
Yep.
And the miracle about the thing is, wasn't that he didn't do it one time, he did it for 40 years.
Yeah.
You know when it quit? When they got in the promised land.
Right.
It could have been 8 days worth of it, but they lied on their reports. So they had to let one whole generation go. Now we're looking at the fact we got a lively hope, we believe God, and the last thing is love. Look up 1 John chapter 3. 1 John chapter 3. Faith, hope, and love. 1 John chapter 3. He says, we know that we, verse 14, 1 John chapter 3, verse 14, we know, see that? We know that we have passed from death unto life because we love the brethren. He that loveth not his brother abideth in death. You understand that verse, right? That's very plain. People that love other saved people, that's you.
Amen.
Well, why don't people love us? Well, there may be a reason why.
Mm-hmm.
You got to love the brethren.
Yep.
Did you see in the Bible where it said like them? No, if you're full of the Spirit, you get this thing called long-suffering. That means you put up with them.
Mm-hmm.
So why would I do that? Because somebody put up with you.
Even.
You was a rascal, wasn't you? I've heard your testimonies. I'd want to kill you, not lead you to the Lord the way you acted. Wouldn't you? You wouldn't have hung around me. Not for long, anyway.
Mm-hmm.
One of us had to go. And you've been thinking, boy, I don't like that guy. Can't stand him. Don't want to be around him. But when I got saved, I found out I had all kind of friends everywhere.
Yeah.
It's crazy how it works out like that. I meet people that can't even talk English. If they say, we'll get along just fine. I'll never forget the first time we went over that first Filipino jail we went to, Vane. Walked in there and them guys looked at us and I looked at them and I thought, boy, that's a sad looking lot right there. You know what they do to you over there? They take you in. If you're a man, they shave your head, de-louse you, stick you in a pair of their flip-flops and shirt and whatever. And there you are, sitting with 19 other guys in a room that holds 4 people. So what time's dinner? If your family brings it, you eat when they bring it. If they don't, you don't eat. Unless one of your little jail buddies helps you out with half of his bowl of rice or something. Ain't that something? So what is that? It's incentive. It's incentive. All you got to do is sit there hungry 3 or 4 days, you won't want to come back. I looked at them guys, I thought, boy, they sad. I said hello to them and I thought, they don't speak English. But I'd practice right before I got there because the day before we led 30 kids to the Lord on the street corner, preached to that interpreter. Well, you really got to think when you're doing that. And God said that you must be born again. You got to really think about that. Hey, man, praise God, you can't do all this stuff right here while you're doing that. You got to be serious about what you're doing.
Yeah.
And I explained to them a little simple gospel message. And I was hoping he'd say the same thing I was. He must have been, because they said, y'all want to get saved? Their tears were going everywhere. Let me tell you something. Them guys, listen to this. They sent word to me yesterday. When's the bald preacher coming back? You know, the American. Well, I ain't been one bald over, and it wasn't fame. They loved him before. Now they love me. They said, we love them guys. When they coming back? When they come back? When is short, fat, bald preacher coming back? Why are they like that? Because somebody got in them and they think it's them sometimes, but it's not them, it's him. I got the same thing they got. We love one another now. You know who the nicest guy was in the jail? The guy that looked like he'd be the meanest. It broke him. Brother Howard said that man cried 2 weeks before he got saved. Every time he
preached, cried all the time.
He started
crying when I started reading the Bible.
I don't even know his name. I just know I love him.
Yeah. I said, you tell him, guys, we're going to try to come back over again sometime, and I will see everyone in my jail in that church.
Amen.
I think though, some of them get out. Some of them might get a little extra extended stay there. I don't know. I don't know what they did. I didn't ask. I learned that from you. I don't ask people that stuff. But I do know this. When you get saved, there's something about other saved people you can't get away from. You just love them.
Amen.
Now watch this. If you got faith, hope, and love, that sounds familiar, don't it? But there's one word different. Look up 1 Corinthians 13. When I first got saved, I had this reading plan I did. And I'm sure glad it pointed out to me to do this thing. Because I learned a word I'd never learned otherwise. We misuse this word in America. We've tried to change its meaning, but God's word has a clear meaning of it. In 1 Corinthians 13, he says, verse 1, though I speak with the tongues of men and angels, and have not this word, charity. The first time I saw that word, I thought, there's no way the Bible's okay with charity the way we do it here in America. Let me tell you something. You get down on your luck and you apply food stamps, they give you $3 food stamps a month. You go in there and you ain't worth killing, you won't hit a lick and a snake won't work, they give you hundreds of dollars every month.
Yep.
Some of you folks, you work and you work hard and you go in a grocery store, you think you're strong. You know why? You pick up $100 grocery with one hand now. That's only two bags of beans and one diet drink, though. That's all that is now. And right there in front of you, two buggies full. Won't hit a lick at a snake. Don't worry, God's keeping score. I know some of y'all ain't been hurting by that either. But listen to this. He says, charity. I looked that word up in a little paperback dictionary we had before we got married. I don't know if it's hers or mine. I don't remember. But I looked that word up in the dictionary. You know what it said? That charity is love in action. Now, that changes the whole thing. So, if I come to 1 Corinthians 13, and if I'm going to translate that to English, and I don't use the word charity right there, and I use the word love to make it easier to understand, I have mistranslated what God's doing in this chapter. He didn't say love. He said charity. So what's the difference? Here's the difference. Brother Ben Atkins called me and say, I'm at the bad place. So I feel sorry for you. Mary forgot to make my lunch, or she made it and I forgot it and left it on the counter. I love you, Ben. Hang the phone up. But if I say I love you and I go down there and I say, Lisa, we got to go do something. And we drive down to Hackberry Drive and Hackberry Circle and drive in there, knock on the door, Mary, what y'all doing here? Well, Ben called from work. He couldn't get a hold of you. He said he left his dinner here. He said he's starving to death. So I take that little box and I take it and I drive it all the way over to Blacksburg and I look for the flames and the smoke and I feel the heat and I know we're at the bad place.
Right.
You want to lose weight? Go just stand where he works at. I promise you will, won't they? It's minimum 100 degrees in there every day, or used to be. I don't go over there no more. But you go in there and I say, here you go, brother, I love you. But when I handed him that food, that said more charity than that word love did when I did it. Now love becomes charity.
Yep.
Here's another one. If Brother Dean calls me and says, Brother Greg, I ain't got no groceries. I got laid off. They cut my unemployment off. They've cut the lights off. I said, Brother Dean, I love you, and hang up the phone. But if I go down there and tell the Board of Public Works, cut that man's lights back on, and I go by the grocery store and get him $100 worth of groceries I can pick up with one hand, I might even get him $200 at that point, get two bags, and I take it down there and say, I love you, then that becomes charity, and that's love in action.
Right.
Look at the end of 1 Corinthians over here. I'll show you something. 1 Corinthians 13. Verse 13, and now abideth faith, hope, charity. Then three things right there. These three, but the greatest of these is charity. That faith will help you to believe you can do it.
Yep.
Hope will give that other person hope that you're going to do it. And charity will get the job done.
Yeah.
Because you love somebody.
Amen.
Not because you love them, because you love him. Amen. Now you love them.
Amen.
And see, that's the new birth.
Yep.
And the question you got to ask yourself is this: have you experienced the new birth? Not have you made a profession of faith. Everybody's made a profession of faith. Some people believe in Jesus. Some people believe in a historical Jesus. Some people believe in a God that's not the God of the Bible. Some people believe in a hippie Jesus that's nowhere found in Scripture. Some people believe in themselves. They're going to save themselves by their good works. But the new birth goes with one thing. That's regeneration. That's the new birth. That's God doing the work of the new birth. Have you experienced the new birth? Let's stand with every head bowed, every eye closed.